For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Not having their best game and being, you know, 3 or 4, probably 4 deep at guard is realistically what it seems like they're looking at going into this year. It's hard to compare. It's not apples to apples, but it's like, okay, I can see where he's fixing this, because I'm sure it killed him last year to know how good that team was, but to lose Tyrese Hunter and things not be quite the same. So it looks like the replacement for PJ Haggerty is quantity. It's not necessarily the best guard you can go get, but it's going and getting 4 guards that are really good, that are interchangeable, that have different skill sets, a little bit more size with a guy like Zachary Davis, and having some, it's kind of like last year, defined roles of, you know, having a 1, having a 2, having different guys that can bring the ball up the floor, but knowing who your true floor general is. So I think it is. I think it's going to be quantity is what it appears right now. And then as far as PJ entering the portal, like, I'm going to say something that's probably not the most popular opinion, but looking at it from a non-Memphis fan perspective, like if you zoom yourself out and say, okay, if it was me and I'm an undersized guard, undersized 2, I'm not even a point guard, my NBA prospects aren't looking very high. I'd probably be a late second round or an undrafted guy, might hop around the G League for a minute and then probably go play overseas and never really get a true like NBA level payday. But I've still got 2 years at the collegiate level, and I can either make $2 million at Memphis or I can double that elsewhere. It's an easy decision. It's an easy decision to know that. Okay,
it's quite frankly, it's irresponsible for him in the position he's in to not do it.
Yes, if I can go make $8 million over the next couple of years, it's going to be impossible not to do that. And it's not even like a money grab thing. Okay, that's what we hear all the time, right? Like, all these dudes care about is money. If you're saying that, look at your life and be like, okay, if I could make $8 million over the next 2 years, would I do that? And the answer for 99.99% of people would be absolutely. Because let's make it even more real. Like, let's make it even more of a real-life scenario. If we told fill-in-the-blank, whoever, okay, you're going to start out your mid, early, late 20s with $8 million in your bank account. You just have to switch teams to someone that's going to pay you a little bit more money. Okay, or whatever other example. If you stay at this job, you can make $2 million a year. Or if you go to this job, you can make $4 million a year. And by the time you're 24, 25 years old, if you've done well with your money, like, you could really set up to have a lot of financial freedom throughout the rest of your life. You haven't made it. Like, yeah, you still have to work the rest of your life, but you got a good cushion that very few people in this world get at that age. So I know it's upsetting if you're a Memphis fan. Of course, it sucks. Like, PJ, like I said, was an All-American. He was a great player. He was fun to root for. He was one of those guys that was super clean. Like, you never heard anything negative come up about him. He was a great ambassador for the program. But you have to look at it from his perspective and say, look, I love the fact that he got to play here for a year. Wish he could have finished out his career here. But, like, go do your thing, make your money, and set yourself up for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to get that $4 million he's asking for on the open market?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. I mean, he's one of the best guards in the country, and I know a lot of spots have filled up, and a lot of these programs have got their lead guard or their lead scorer. But there are definitely teams out there that are going to look around and say, okay, we've got this position. We got a lot of these things set. But I don't feel like we have a true, like, guy that can just go get a bucket at any time, like someone that can score 42 points in a collegiate
right.
game. There's not a ton of those running around out there. And we've got a lot of NIL money, and we've got donors that are willing to write a check for that.
And we have teams desperate. We're getting into that desperation territory when you need a good player. He's one of the few out there on the open market.
Exactly. Where coaches are looking at their roster and saying, man, there's this one hole that P.J. Haggerty would fill perfectly. And $4 million, I think we can make that happen. We got some pretty deep pockets. So yeah. I think he'll probably get close, like $3.5-4 million wouldn't surprise me at all, because we've seen players in similar situations, similar backgrounds, get around that kind of money. So I think eventually somebody's going to say, look, we need this kid. This kid could take us over the top and make us a potential contender. Somebody write the check.
Yep. For sure. Well, Christian, I appreciate it, man. You the man. We will talk again next week.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. See y'all back next week.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Make sure you check out our podcast, the On the Bluff podcast, every single Tuesday at noon. Christian made his triumphant return to the show this week. Now, Jeff Calkins is scheduled to join on the other side, so we need to go ahead and get to that. Stick around. We'll get Jeff Calkins on in just a moment, but a reminder, hour number two of the Gabe Kuhn Show is presented by the Memphis Showboats. Get your tickets now to see the Showboats at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Go to UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. Again, UFL.com or call 901-341-7008. But without further ado, let's bring on Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11 every single weekday here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. At age 63, I just learned something. I never knew this before. I've never bought cottage cheese before. Have you ever bought cottage cheese?
No, I'm not a cottage cheese fan.
Do you hate cottage cheese?
I don't know. I don't know if I've thought about it enough to hate cottage cheese.
Have you ever eaten it?
I've eaten it. I just, you know, it's not something I'm into.
Well, we have it in our house now because, you know, I'm married now. And so we have it in our house. And I just bought cottage cheese. And it's funny how you can learn things at an advanced age like I am. It comes in either small curd or large curd. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And you have to make a choice. How do I know which to get, the small curd or the large curd?
What was your choice? What was the choice
of
your household?
I got one of each. I was so bamboozled by this that I bought one large curd and one small curd. And I still don't know what the right answer is, but there you go. There you go. It's cottage cheese is something that I would have thought was just, it's actually not bad. Cottage cheese isn't bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Is it a breakfast or is it a snack? What is it for you?
Well, I don't have it much, but when I have it, it's like I'm a little hungry and I'm like, what do I have? I'll just have a spoonful of cottage cheese. I'm a little less hungry all of a sudden. Yeah. A couple spoonfuls of cottage cheese.
Is cottage cheese an old person thing, by the way? Is that an aging thing?
I don't know why old. I think of it as like an old person thing, not in the sense of that you eat it.
Not
when
quite
you
tapioca pudding and prunes,
no,
but it's like you're bridging the gap.
Yeah. Well, I think of it as also as a thing that people once ate, right? And so it's old people in the sense that you lived in the 50s, and so that's where you learned to eat cottage cheese, right? And so that's the only reason you would be eating cottage cheese, because no one does that anymore. Like the idea, cottage cheese, it's a thing that like, never made any sense to me. Like it would be on a piece of lettuce. You know, you'd have this lettuce and then this dollop of cottage cheese on it. And I was just, I don't know how you eat that. Like, I guess you eat it with a fork and then the lettuce separate. I never understood it. I still don't really understand cottage cheese. The truth of the matter is it's very versatile, though. Sometimes I take care of Scott Morris's dog, Scott Morris Church Health, great institution in Memphis. And he delivered cottage cheese to put a little on the dog food. So it's good when you have a versatile food that you can either eat or that you can use to enhance the dog food. You know, it's sort of, it's a versatile food in that respect too. And here's the other thing about cottage cheese. If you talk about it long enough, you can avoid talking about the grizzly. Another use for cottage cheese.
Right. That's a great point.
It turns out it's a very versatile food stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And, Yeah. And next you're going to go get chipped beef, though. I mean, good Lord. We're throwing it back.
While I was shopping for the cottage cheese, someone who I knew, I saw at Kroger, said, man, you're going to have to play for the Grizzlies. Like, that's how much, like, it's on people's mind, you know? Like, there's a certain dread that comes with this. Normally, playoff games are supposed to be this source of anticipation. You wait all year for it, you know? And it's just, this feeling of dread around the games now.
I get the sense that tonight is a big decider. And I'm not saying people won't show up for Game 3 in FedEx Forum by any stretch of the imagination. I think they'll fill it out mostly. It's a playoff game in the end of the day. You only have a certain amount of opportunities to see the Grizzlies in the playoffs. But I think tonight is a big decider on some of the people who have tickets. Are they going to go? Are they not? I truly feel that way. I think this is a point of contention tonight to see if they at least stick in the game, make it competitive.
Yeah, I mean, what you hope is that Game 3, you know, is a fresh start. You know, the old rally around your guys. Let's see if you can get a game.
And you know, a series doesn't start until someone wins on the road.
Yeah, right. So it's just the thing that's too. And so, I mean, the truth of the matter is, I didn't know how many people were going to be there last Friday, and it was a blast. Like, last Friday turned out to be an absolute great night at FedEx Forum. And, you know, the growl towels are there, and they got the whoop that trick going and everything else. And it wasn't quite the fever pitch that some of the absolute best Grizzlies games have ever been, but it was a blast. And so, you know, maybe, you know, you take your last stand, even no matter what happens tonight, Thursday. And then if they lose Thursday – and I'm sorry we're even talking about this, but if they lose Thursday, then Saturday is just sort of a farewell, right? It's Jeffrey said, it's like your fan appreciation day only in the playoffs. And so hopefully there'll be good crowds both times. It's just, this whole thing is so unnecessary, because if you had literally matched up with anybody else, which was fully in your control, you were second in the West. You didn't have to blow that 20-point lead to Chicago in the second week or whatever it was.
Right.
You didn't have to lose 2 to Brooklyn. You didn't have to – like, if you had just taken it seriously, then we wouldn't have to be here. Because I think any other matchup, sure, you might have lost the series. This team hasn't been playing very well. So I wouldn't pick them over Minnesota. I wouldn't pick them – but it would have been – we would have had the – you know, some of the playoff excitement, as opposed to this sense of inevitable doom, which, you know, has people like me talking about cottage cheese.
Yeah, I will say the one clear thing that needs to happen, whether they, you know, win a game or get swept, I want to see Jaren Jackson Jr. play better. And Connor sent me this before the show, and I think his quote was, "This kicked me right in the nads." Dylan Brooks played 22 games in the playoffs for the Grizzlies, 16 points per game on 38% from the field. Jaren Jackson Jr. in 24 games in the playoffs for the Memphis Grizzlies, 15 points per game on 38% from the field. He's just not been a good playoff player for the Memphis Grizzlies to this point in his career.
No, he hasn't. Chris Harrington did a piece on it today. I mean, yeah, if Kendrick Perkins, you know, going off on him,
too much, but I get the point.
But what happens is when you submit the performance that you did as a team and as a player on Sunday, people in the hot take industry line up they feast. Like, what is there to say about this other than it's laughable and to take your shots? And so, yes, to say that he's not a top 10 big or that he's the most overhyped. Is he even hyped? I don't think Jaren is even hyped.
Yeah, you
call him the most overhyped player in the league, which is preposterous.
I think he's generally thought of as overrated when I don't know a lot of people that
rate him.
That's what I don't get about the conversation.
Yeah, some people would say he was overrated to be the defensive player of the year. I think that's what happens is that and, you know, they look at it and they say he doesn't knock people over and rebound, you know, so he can't be that. Anyway, that was extreme, but it is not extreme to say he has been disappointing in the playoffs and that he has to be better. There's no way around that. Now, the other thing is just the big three generally have to be better.
Yes.
Like, that's what to me is the most discouraging thing about this is, sure, Brandon Clark isn't there and Jalen Wells isn't there. But we have for several years now held on to this truth that if the three best players on this team are healthy, they can play and beat anybody, right? And so this idea that you can have the three best players on this team available, and Ja doesn't even look that, you know, diminished at this point. He wasn't the least of their problems, actually, Sunday. But that you have that, you can have your three best players all available, and yet it feels utterly futile.
Yeah.
Not just that they can't win or be whatever. It feels totally wildly overmatched. Seems crazy.
The difference between the role pieces for the Thunder and the role pieces for the Grizzlies, especially without Jalen Wells and Brandon Clark, it is I don't even know how to, you know, I don't know the words to explain how wide of a margin it is in the Thunder's favor.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Stunning gulf. It is a stunning gulf. There's no question.
That's what I do hate about it, though, is I feel like these same issues have perpetuated for this Grizzlies team for as long as Zach Kleiman's been the GM. I'm not blaming it directly on him, but it's always been sort of a wait till next year. Maybe these guys step up, but most of the time they haven't. It just feels like they have never found the right formula to surround these three with.
No, I mean, at this point, this is something I've said a million times at this point, again. But if you look at them 3 years ago, they had Steven Adams and Kyle Anderson and De'Anthony Melton and Tyus Jones and Dylan Brooks. Okay, now, you can have your quibbles with any of them, and I'm not saying you could have kept them all because you couldn't have, right? And then you had health problems with Steven, whatever else. But the point is, that is your cast that was around the three stars. It involved, you know, some toughness and involved, like, you know, a depth and experience, you know, all of that. And now you have replaced those five with, you know, what? and we're saying, well, the second round rookie wasn't available. What do you expect? You know, like that can't be the answer. And
exactly.
Obviously, the biggest emblem of that is the whiffs. There's been a lot of whiffs, but the biggest whiff, unquestionably, because the effort to, you know, go get the experienced veteran who can, you know, be sort of the equivalent of what they have in Oklahoma City was Marcus Smart. And you give two firsts to get him and another first to ship him off. And that is a big whiff. And if you are, you know, I suspect that Kleiman is safe, and I think he probably should be, because in the end, the most important thing for a general manager in Memphis is to be able to draft well. And he has, because that's really where you're going to get your talent. But he, and I'm sure he would say it, he has said it, because he said it, you know, at the brief press conference that he gave, you know, after the trade deadline, he said, you know, look at me, I'm the one who's accountable. But I think he is accountable. He has failed to put, you know, the right collection of players around the big three. It's just, it couldn't be more obvious in this series. You know, makes it even more glaring.
Yeah. And going back to the trade deadline and who they bet on and G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. and Jalen Wells, like looking back at that, you know, I know we had some thoughts about those guys, what they can grow into. They're still young. I guess there still is that that hope that going into next year with a full off season, those guys can progress, take a leap, yada, yada, yada. But even looking back at that, what does frustrate me, if you just zoom out, you are betting on a 39th overall pick, a 45th overall pick, and a 47th overall pick to become the future of the depth on this team. That is not a winning bet in really ever in the NBA. That's never been a winning bet.
I don't know so much at this trade deadline if they were betting on those players as much as they were betting against this team this year. You know, to me, what the trade deadline said was, we're not ready to
win.
And you know, whatever. Did they try to get Kevin Durant? Whatever, you know. But I think, yeah, they clearly didn't expect this year Vince and Gigi, Vince coming back from injury, Gigi, you know, sort of a lost season totally. I think that, you know, getting rid of Jake, they were betting. The trade deadline to me was a very clear sense of, we can't win this year. And so what we're going to do is we're going to clear some cap space so we can do what we have to do with Jaren this summer and whatever else. And the problem with that is that, and listen, in the long term, that may prove to be wise, but honestly, like, it felt like from the beginning of this year that this franchise didn't take this year seriously, right? Yeah. It was all experiment. It was all, like, when did it ever really matter?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference found in the details. The difference between customers and trusted neighbors. The difference between preparing for the coming weeks and planning for the coming years. The difference between serving a community and serving your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You know, when did it ever feel like... And so... I'm not saying you have to be, you know, Thibodeau and the Knicks in the way that you're going all in every night, but it seemed like they never took this particular year that seriously. And I did think at the trade deadline, it was maybe reasonably acknowledging that this is not going to be the year for this team.
Now, if we get into next year, once Jaren's pen hits paper and you feel that same maybe lack of urgency, lack of a sense of urgency, that becomes a problem. That's where we really need to revisit the Zach.
Yeah.
Well, it's a problem this year, but then it becomes like, okay, when is the time where you're going to think about the present, where you're going to go for it, where you're going to try to execute trades to make this team better, find some vets, do that type of thing. That's, I think, even more so than this year. If you feel the same next year about Zach Kleiman and the decisions he's making, and you feel like there's future-oriented thoughts, moving through his head on a consistent basis, I think that's where the problem comes in with a guy like Zach Kleiman.
Yeah, I suspect that. I suspect that there's a dawning sense of urgency over there, and I suspect that as they evaluate everything, you'll hear a lot about that. The problem, of course, is that the moves that you have to make to get those better players become increasingly difficult.
Yes,
because you have much less financial flexibility, and you have at this point fewer draft picks. I mean, you still have all your
and you don't have a bunch of player assets that are going to
and you don't have
get
a bunch of player
going.
Assets. Whatever. I mean, you could so weirdly enough now. All right, now make the moves, but now it's much harder to make the moves. And in fairness, like there are different times he has tried to make the moves.
Yes.
Way back the Justice Winslow trade and the Marcus Smart trade, but he just has whiffed. You know, I honestly, the Zaire Williams and that, like that was like, let's go up and get that 3-and-D piece. Like that was another effort to, to put the right pieces around these three. It just, I think the three biggest moves have been the Justice Winslow trade, the Marcus Smart trade and the trade up to get Steven Adams. I mean, you know, he got you Steven Adams and Zaire, and those moves, none of them pan out.
Yeah.
Steven Adams did temporarily, right?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, it was kind of depressing to see him play as good a ball as he did in a playoff setting the other night with the Rockets.
Yeah.
Even though they lost, it was a bit depressing, but that's beyond the point.
There's a sense of toughness that comes with, honestly, like I was by the end, I think we were ready to move on from Dylan Brooks. I think everybody was. I don't know. Like, would Steven Adams and Dylan Brooks have lost by 51? Now, Dylan Brooks lost by 40.
You
know,
yeah.
Dylan Brooks was part of that team that lost by 40. So let's not, put him on a particular pedestal. When I think about the most embarrassing losses in Memphis sports history, at least the ones I've covered, this one the other Sunday was obviously a big one, but that 40-point loss 2 years ago, the elimination game against the Lakers, and I hope this preceded you. I'm sure it did. The 47-3 Memphis football loss to Arkansas State at Arkansas State. That was before you.
That was before me. Yeah. We would have never let that happen. Come on, Jeff.
Glad you weren't a part of that. No, that was the Larry Porter era. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jeff, I'll let you roll, man. I appreciate
it. See ya. Good to talk to you.
He's Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian Columnist, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show every single weekday right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Now I need to tell you about Robert Irwin Jewelers, because Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings because, first of all, you get more choices. They have a large selection and collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. And if you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it. You can bring in a drawing, a picture, and they'll make that one-of-a-kind engagement ring come to life. And this is the best thing. You have peace of mind. Because what they do that is not like other jewelers, they have the meant-to-be guarantee. What's the meant-to-be guarantee? It's a risk-free, easy way to buy your diamond engagement ring because you have a 365-day, no-questions-asked return policy. If you guys break up, she wants a new ring, whatever happens, you can bring it in for a full refund. They have free ring sizing for life, so if you gain weight, you lose weight, they can handle that for you. They have free jewelry spa service for life. That's a bundle of jewelry maintenance services that includes stone tightening, buffing, polishing, ultrasonic cleaning, steam cleaning, whatever you need. They do that for free if you buy your diamond engagement ring or jewelry in general from Robert Irwin Jewelers. And they always have great financing options. Ask her now and pay later with financing like 24-month deferred interest or take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers and Howie over there, they have 4 decades in the diamond business. They have 4 decades in the jewelry business. And they've always served us here in the city of Memphis. So make sure you get to one of their 5 locations, Perkins Extended in East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, and 2 locations in the Little Rock area. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers are online at rijewelers.com. Now, the NFL draft is about 48 hours away, and we have some intel about how the top of the draft is going to shake out, and maybe a little intel on Shedeur Sanders. Where is he actually going to land? We'll talk about it next. We're closing in on 48 hours until night one, round one of the NFL draft in Green Bay, and we're getting some intel little by little. I will say, not a lot of movement yet. This is the closest we've gotten to the draft without any draft picks being moved. I think the previous record was 5 days. We have not seen anybody make any substantive trade around the NFL draft to acquire picks, to move up in the draft, to move down in the draft. So that is worth noting. It could be an interesting draft night, although I don't think it is being forecasted to be one. Now, one thing that's not interesting is the number one pick. I think we all have the assumption that Cam Ward, quarterback from Miami, will be the new quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. Here's GM, new GM, Mike Borgonzi on the Titans' plans coming up on Thursday. Oh, yeah, we'll find out Thursday night. We're on the edge of our seat, Mike. Yeah, we have no idea. I mean, it's a mystery to us. You're going to pick Cam Ward. You're going to move forward with him. And I like the pick for the most part. I don't think it's a great quarterback draft, but if you're looking at the quarterbacks, it's Cam Ward, Big Space, Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, guys of that ilk. I think it makes sense. I think it'll fit. I think the Titans will be better for it. Now, I don't think they have a whole lot surrounding him. If you've heard, Cam Ward, he was on like a Fortnite stream a couple of days ago, and he was asked who his favorite wide receivers in the league are. He brought up Calvin Ridley, of course, with the Titans. Then he brought up Treylon Burks. Okay, all right, let's relax. He has not been very good, but he's giving you all the context clues, letting you know. He also was asked about his favorite running backs. He brought up Tony Pollard and Ty J. Spears. If you're using your context clues, I think it's pretty clear where we're going to start at the top of the draft. Then number two and number three in any particular order. I think it'll go Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. One going to the Browns, of course, Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter to the Giants. If those are flipped around, I wouldn't be surprised either. Those are two of the most can't-miss prospects in this year's draft. Where it's gotten interesting, though, and there's been some intel from Adam Schefter that he posted on ESPN yesterday. Of course, Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider. There is at least one team he talked to that does not have a first-round grade on any of the quarterbacks in this draft. The GM of another team told him there are no surefire quarterback solutions, and he also was told by the same GM that Cam Ward would be the seventh-rated quarterback in last year's class. So the question with all of those bits of intel or, opinions from the GMs that Adam Schefter is talking to, is where is who we think to be quarterback two in this draft, Shedeur Sanders, going to land? Well, there's been some interesting developments in the past couple of days. Omar Khan as well for the Steelers spoke today. I'll get to that in a second. But FanDuel Sportsbook now has changed their odds completely. There's been a major shift in Shedeur Sanders' odds. He was originally supposed to be on the board for the Giants. They were the favorite to take him. But in the past 24 hours, the Steelers took over as the shortest odds to take Shedeur Sanders off the board at plus 310, Giants plus 350, Cleveland Browns plus 360, Saints at plus 370. Then you have a major fall off, Los Angeles Rams, plus 1,200, and the Raiders plus 1,300. So the idea at this point is that not only is Shedeur Sanders going to fall out of the top 10, he could fall out of the top 20 and get drafted at number 21 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if you've listened to the Steelers talk about their draft plans and the quarterback position, they only have two quarterbacks. They want four quarterbacks going in to fall camp. Listen to Omar Khan. He'll let you know what their plans are at the quarterback position. So that is, he wants to get from two quarterbacks to four quarterbacks by the time they get to fall camp. And considering the free agent market, they're going to have to likely do that through the draft in some way, shape, or form. I guess Aaron Rodgers is still out there, although last time he talked to Pat McAfee, Connor and I spoke on it, it seemed like he may be leaning to retirement, but you'd never actually know what's going through that guy's head. But the likelihood of them taking a quarterback or two in the NFL draft to see what they can do to develop them is very, very high, and they hold the number 21 pick, but then after that, they don't pick until the 80s. So I don't know what their decision's going to be, but based on all of the pre-draft intel around Shedeur Sanders and his visit to the Steelers, he did a top 30 visit there, worked out for them. He said that the visit was a 10. He likes the culture that's been created there. He likes the Steelers. They're a very successful organization that's looking for a quarterback of the future. They have had four starters in the past 4 years. They're going to have a fifth starter in the past five years. Going into this season because Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are no longer on that roster. I think Shedeur Sanders makes the most sense to the Steelers at 21. And I know there's some people in Steelers Nation that have fallen in love with Jackson Dart, and I like Jackson Dart a whole lot. I do think, as I've mentioned previously on the show, that he is a lot more scheme-specific fit. He's a half-field reader. He certainly thrives off the RPO, that type of thing. I think if you're looking for a Steelers quarterback, you need accuracy. You need command, you need toughness behind that offensive line that's been struggling, and you need a guy who can read the full field. And I think...
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Shedeur Sanders, of all the quarterback prospects that we see in this NFL draft, fits all of the criteria for the next quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There is some things out there where he could get picked before that. The Saints are still quarterback needy with the Derek Carr shoulder injury. There's a lot of guys, a lot of teams that may have him higher on the board, may trade up to go get a guy like Shedeur Sanders. But based on all the intel we're receiving on Shedeur Sanders in this quarterback class, I think a likely scenario is that he falls to 21 into the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think that makes a whole lot of sense. Now, we need to go ahead and wrap up this show coming up next, then pass you off to Grizzlies vs. Thunder Game 2. Small talk. We'll wrap up the Gabe Kuhn Show on the other side. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Before we get into tonight's game, Grizzlies vs. the Thunder, and obviously we're going to pass you off here in just a moment to the pregame show, The Out the Mud podcast also had another clip when Marc Gasol was on. And Out the Mud, of course, is Tony Allen and Zach Randolph talking about their days. They always bring on guests, but they had Marc Gasol on. Connor, you have heard those guys speak on what year was it when they played the Warriors? And Tony Allen got hurt. You've heard them speak on your
yeah.
favorite your
my
the,
favorite
the hill
is, yeah.
the hill that you've never that you will completely die
I
on.
I will go to my grave.
You'll
with
go
this
to your
belief.
Grave with but this. Yeah, they, it sounds like they'll go to their grave with this.
Yeah,
belief as
they
well.
Were. I think TA or Zebo. By the way, the entire interview is incredible. We talked about it a little bit yesterday in the Blitz. But if you haven't listened to it, Marc Gasol was on with TA and Zebo on Out the Mud podcast, and it's just you. It's a must listen. He talks about Pau Gasol. He talks about Kobe. He talks about being traded to Toronto. How much he loved Memphis. How he never really believed he'd be an NBA player, and how he ended up in Memphis. So yeah. it's a fascinating listen. Go listen to it immediately. But, yeah, they asked him which team he thought had the best chance to really win it. And, you know, he did the whole, well, we had a lot of talented teams and good players, but the year that Tony Allen got hurt in the playoffs against the Warriors and Mike Conley had a broken face, he said, if you didn't get hurt, I think we would have gotten it done that year, because it was really the year before the Warriors became the Warriors. Like,
yeah.
They had them on the ropes. They were up in that series. And then Tony Allen's hamstring injury changed everything. Now, if the Grizzlies had gotten past the Warriors in that series, they would have eventually had to meet LeBron and the Cavaliers. But that was the same season that Kevin Love got hurt in the playoffs and Kyrie was
yes.
out. So it would have just been LeBron James against the core four and the Memphis Grizzlies. And I do think that the Grizzlies would have been able to win a title that year if they had made it past the Warriors. If Tony Allen's hamstring hadn't popped, if Mike was fully healthy, I truly believe that that would have been the season that the Grizzlies won a title.
Isn't that another example of, like, they don't make them like T.A. anymore, man?
No.
A defensive player, didn't provide much offensively, but it completely flipped the series.
Well, like, how much would, like, a Tony Allen change this Grizzlies team?
Oh, God. It would be completely different. Because the thing with Tony, it's not just a great defender. You get a mindset
yes.
when you have a guy like
yes.
Tony Allen.
Yes, you get a tone setter.
Yes.
A leader.
Yes, and you know, for this iteration of the Grizzlies, that was Dylan Brooks. He's gone now. I understand why he's gone, but you know what I mean.
Like, I thought Jeff had a great point like where that. He was like, everybody's like, I missed Dylan. It's like, y'all remember the 40-point loss that happened?
Right. 100%. 100%. Now, tonight's game will take place at 6:30, and we'll see if the Grizzlies can get going. Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to have to be better. But something has been brought to my attention regarding the Thunder crowd tonight. And for those that have not been privy to this, I'm going to give you a little bit of news. The Thunder give out shirts for every game, like their playoff shirts. The one that they have tonight, I forget exactly what it says. It looks like it just says Playoff 25, Oklahoma City Basketball, Established 08. But they give them out every game. Pretty cool. And their crowd has been known. They have the stripes in there. They did it during the Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden days. They have a really good home court advantage. And I feel like the look of the crowd goes into that. It plays into that. Everybody buys in, wears those shirts, regardless of what they wear, to the arena. But one fan who's been courtside since 2010, Juan Guerra II, he's the owner of Kicklahoma, which is like a sneaker company, resale company, that type of thing. He has had those courtside seats since 2010 and has never once worn it. Is this okay for him, or does he need to get with a program? This is a real question, a real debate I'm having in my mind at this point, because I don't think it's a cool thing to be the only person in the entire stadium not wearing your playoff shirt.
I totally get that mindset. I also, at the same time, completely understand why, though. He may be a superstitious guy, and he's saying, you know, I've seen this team win 60-plus games this season. I am not going to wear it. He might have a routine. The only way I'd be okay with it is if he wears something specific every single time.
He wears his Kicklahoma sweatshirt. That's what he wears.
If he thinks that is good luck, I get it. Fans can be insane. That is part of our job, is to be insane. And our routines absolutely matter.
No, you know, championship those, yet, like, though. He's had them since 2010. He's never worn
fair.
The shirt.
That's fair. But I understand routine and fandom. And I also kind of respect that the entire arena is like, dude, wear it. And he's like, no. Like, being against the peer pressure.
And he swears. I've seen him speak on this. And he's on Twitter at Juan Guerra II. So you can go see him on there. He says he's not trying to be cool. Not trying to make a fashion statement. He just does not want to wear the shirt.
I don't really get that. It has to be superstition and routine.
Yeah, but if it's superstition and routine, it should have come through for you before. It should have. I don't know.
That's
potentially
like,
won a Western Conference Finals. Got
the Thunder have had a lot of success.
Sure.
A lot of success in their history.
But no championship. Yeah. Isn't that the ultimate like thing to have a superstition for?
I wear almost the same thing every time I go to a Grizzlies game, and they also have not won a championship.
And is it a superstition for you? Is it absolutely a superstition for you?
Yeah, like to playoff games, I wear a specific thing. I wear my 3-6 Mafia John Morant jersey almost every time I go.
And if that hasn't worked out. If you're estimating your record wearing that jersey.
I would feel guilty if I wasn't wearing it. It's fandom. Logic does not need to be applied here. Logic isn't applied. Like A's fans wear the same thing to every damn game, and they're not like, we're doing it for championship reasons. Like, it's, you know. I get it. I get why he's not wearing it.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a bit of a D-bag for it, but like, I get it.
He'll probably be sticking out courtside. You'll see him in his Kicklahoma sweatshirt.
It would be funny
tonight
if the Grizzlies like won tonight, though, and you just see somebody whip the shirt at him.
Yeah. Now let's go ahead and pass you off to Grizzlies and Oklahoma City Thunder game 2, 6:30. Eric Asseltine will be on the call.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with Zoe.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.